Folding Pocket.
Hello, and welcome back to The Fast and the Curious with me, Betty Glover, and our resident Formula One expert, Christian Hugill.
Hello, Betty. It's lovely to be here. I've just realised the reason I look a little bit dark for our YouTube viewers is because I haven't turned on the lights in the room I'm recording, so just give me a second. Alexa, office on.
Right.
That's better, isn't it? There we are. You won't get the joys of that if you're listening, I'm afraid, but I look beautifully lit now. Do carry on.
It looks no different, Christian. It literally has not done anything.
It looks drastically different.
Right.
Anyway, I'd like to apologise for that interruption. No Greg James this week because we're recording in the morning when he's famously busy. But one thing we do have, Betty.
Is what?
A race. It's race week.
Woo! I feel like we need the party poppers, we need the balloons.
Some confetti.
We need the Prosecco.
Some confetti. I can rip up a tissue if you like, but that's sort of all I've
got. Yeah, go on then.
Okay, hang on. Right, okay. If you want. This is not exactly... All right, here we go.
I hope that's not used tissue.
No, it's not a used tissue. I've got standard. It's race week!
Ah, right, yeah, see, awful, I like that commitment to the cause. We are going to obviously talk all about China because Formula One hasn't been to China since 2019 because of COVID.
It's China.
China. It's also the first sprint weekend of the season. So we're going to take you through everything that you need to know about that. We're also going to take a look at some pretty big contract news that's happened in the lead up to the race. And also, there's been some excellent feedback to our latest chat with Oscar Piastri. And I've also got to do a bit of defending. I've got to defend myself because I think I embarrassed myself during that interview. And we're also going to do a couple of listener questions as well on this episode, Christian. Are you excited?
I can hardly contain my excitement. I'm looking forward to it very much. We're doing more than one today, though, aren't we? More than one listener question. We thought we'd push the boat out after Greg James bullied the fact that there was only one last time, which I thought was harsh and called for.
But first, because I just can't stop staring at it, Christian. I can see it in my eye line and I just don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
So shall we talk about it? The latest installments of Christian's admin. Who is the dinky driver that I can just see there?
Guess the dinky driver. So for those who might have missed this, behind me I have placed, and this was not intended to become part of the podcast, but somebody spotted it. Behind me, for those watching on YouTube or seeing us on social media, there is a dinky driver in my soundproofing. We're inviting one listener, and I mean one, to have one question and one guess each and every week. And this week, speaking to us live and direct, is Lydia. Lydia, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Betty. Hello, Christian. How are you?
Hello, Lydia. Thanks so much for joining us.
That's okay.
Lydia, it's lovely to have you here. Betty, can you remind us what we know so far? All we know so far really is that it's not George Russell. Is that right?
So Sarah guessed it's George Russell. So we know it's not him. And I, in a panic last time, guessed it was Zhou Guanyu.
Betty, you don't know the identity of the dinky driver. It's top secret.
No, I mean, I can see it.
You can see him.
But I can't see any details. I can't even see the colour of it.
How much, Lydia, has this dominated your life? How much do you think about this on a daily basis?
Dinky driver's taken over my life. Sure. My work's gone off a rail. I haven't spoken to my family in weeks. It's everything. Everything.
Understandable. It's understandable. Lydia, whereabouts are you from and what's your sort of Formula One allegiance?
I am from Hackney. I'm in Hackney at the moment. I am an Oscar girly, as you may be able to see.
Oh, aren't we all? We're all Oscar girlies on this podcast.
We're all Oscar. I mean, but do you have a tattoo though?
Oh, wow. Show that to camera again, Lydia.
It's a papaya with the seeds that have an 81 in it.
Spectacular.
I got that done, I kid you not, the Saturday morning of the Qatar sprint weekend.
Oh my God.
So Friday, you know, lap time deleted, bit of a nightmare in quality. I go and get this done. Oh. And suddenly we're sticking it on pole, sprint win, P2.
Wow. I've got so many questions.
I'm just saying maybe Mark Webber owes me some cash. I'm just thinking.
Is Mark Webber Oscar's manager, of course.
Have you met him before and does he know about this?
I haven't met him. I don't think he knows about it. I'd be very surprised if he did. But he's just so chilled and cool and calm and collected. And he's so funny. And I love hearing him on this podcast in particular. He's just... he's just, I just love him.
Lydia, just very quickly, an idea, and producer Jimmy with his notepad, I'm guessing. If you ever fancy getting another tattoo on the podcast, we could see if Oscar then wins afterwards.
Multiple Oscar that moving, I mean, I would say moving into fangirl territory. I'm obviously a massive fangirl anyways, but it's...
I think you're there already, Lydia.
Yeah, I think you crossed that line, Lydia. Sorry, babes, but you're there.
We're there, we're dignity's gone.
Anyway, Lydia, to business. Enough of this frivolity. Lydia, I'll invite you to ask a question first and foremost, if you'd like to. You don't have to. And I will only be able to answer this question with a yes or a no. So you get one question. Again, you don't have to. You could go straight in with a guess if you want to. Would you like to ask a question?
Is this driver European?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that somewhat now negates my actual guess, but it'll help again for the, you know, the feature going forward.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll give you a guess anyway.
So my guess, regardless, was largely because you said you got it in an antique shop. I assumed it would be someone of a kind of former generation. Is it El Maestro Juan Manuel Fangio?
You're guessing Juan Manuel Fangio. Lydia, I can confirm that the dinky driver is not Juan Manuel Fangio. I'm so sorry.
Nightmare. You win some, you lose some.
Oh, Lydia.
Can I say that the building of tension there was excellent, though? That was really spectacular.
Thank you.
I really like the fact that you picked up on the whole, got it in an antique shop, therefore older drop. I didn't pick up on that, so good for you.
Solid thinking, solid thought process, but alas, inaccurate on this occasion. Lydia, thank you. I wish you well in continuing your life while the mystery remains unsolved. Lydia, thank you for coming on. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Really nice to be here. Cheers.
Bye, Lydia.
And that was this week's Guess the Dinky Driver.
Shall we talk about the real-life Formula One driver that we spoke to last week, the one and only Oscar Piastri?
Yeah, it's always great to have him on. And now, twice in a row, an episode that features Oscar Piastri has ended up going a little bit viral for Oscar himself picking up one of the presenters. Bear in mind, when we first spoke to him, he was this shy, quiet, calm boy, effectively. I think now he's not only a man thriving in his Formula One career, but also so much a part of this podcast that he's quite comfortable pulling the presenters up. And this time, it was Betty Glover's turn.
Last time that we caught up with you, I just cut out, sorry.
I think Betty might be struggling.
I'm going to try and let her ask a question, Oscar.
I am having bad internet issues. Oscar, it is terrible down here in Manchester.
Down here in Manchester? Hang on. Down here in Manchester. Okay.
Oh, God. My geography isn't great, is it?
I was going to say, if that's down, where do you consider up?
Oscar, you could tell you're a regular co-host on this podcast when you're pulling up Betty Glover on things. That's excellent work from you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't help myself at all. And fair play to Oscar. He saw the opportunity and he went with it, and he needed to, because just for a little background for everybody, I still have a chest infection that I've had since January.
Yeah, and credit to you, you are ill and you do continue to be ill. I do give you credit here.
Yeah, I do feel better now. But last week I was just, oh my God, I was in a hole. And my brain wasn't working. I was having internet issues as well when we were recording this podcast with Oscar Piastri. So
say that again, you froze.
Did I?
No.
I was about to throw my laptop out the window then.
Please that work. We have a laugh on this podcast, don't we?
And we do. Didn't cover myself in glory, did I? That's not great. But obviously, I just, you know, when you're a bit ill, your brain doesn't really work, Christian.
To be fair, we've had people in Scotland saying to them, Manchester is very much down, which it is.
Well, exactly.
The one thing I would say, Betty, actually, this is the thing that my dad pointed out. I was at home at the weekend and they were watching the episode as I was pottering around the flat.
Oh, no.
And the first thing Dad said to me was, Oscar's Australian and he's got better geography knowledge than Betty.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, how does Oscar know where Manchester is? Do you know what I mean?
He's probably spent enough time racing in this country to know where stuff is.
Yeah, true.
I think it's the level of sass that Oscar brings with him now. We are hugely here for.
He's also by the way, about to get a taste of his own medicine because he's been pulled up on something that he said during that chat by his own mother, Christian. The legend that is Nicole Piastri, she's got in touch with us, actually. She slid into our DMs.
I love the queen of social media herself. I love that she's DM'd the podcast. That made my day when I saw this.
She listens to the show when she walks her dogs.
You forget people are listening. We just sit and ramble on and have a conversation to ourselves. I genuinely forget people listen, let alone Oscar Piastri's actual mum. Hello, Mrs. Piastri. It's lovely to have you along. Anyway, Betty, read out the message.
You just tore up a tissue and threw it in the air. And you like, people are listening to this, Christian.
Oh, I know. I regret that now in front of Oscar Piastri's mum.
Anyway, Nicole said this. She said, just listen to your latest episode while walking the dogs after a nightmare journey home from Japan after Oscar's three sisters, grandparents, uncle and I all flew to Japan specifically to see him on his birthday and give him a cake. I'm slightly put out that not only did we not rate a mention in his list of birthday highlights, but he also gave his grandmother credit for the late Saturday night run to the supermarket for more Rumble ingredients to his grandma. That was actually me.
Oscar. Taking credit away from his dear mother, the very woman that brought him into this earth.
Exactly. Do you want to explain for those that might not know what this story about the Lamingtons and the Rumbles is?
And this happened at the last Australian Grand Prix, that his grandma makes this, I was about to say Australian delicacy, like it's something if I'm a celebrity, get me out of it. I meant like, you know, makes this Australian dish, the I think Lamingtons and Rumbles, is that what, have I got that right?
Yeah.
And this year, they went down so well that Oscar didn't get any. So he said to us, his grandma went to whatever the Australian version of the co-op is to get some more, Oz Shop, I presume that's what it's called. But what he said that it was his grandma, it wasn't his grandma, it was his mum. And then Nicole said, that aside, another fab episode, love your work. P.S. Yuki is a step closer to superseding Oscar on my list of favourite drivers.
Oh my God, I love this. I love this.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yuki, right up there any day of the week. Also, Yuki would never forget you when he's sort of talking about his highlights of his birthday, especially if you've flown all the way over from Australia to Japan and your own son can't even give you a shout out when asked about his birthday. Nicole, I'm with you. Do you know what? We will say this to Oscar next time we see him.
Oh, without question. Yes, without question. Nicole, thank you for listening.
Before we move on and talk about the Chinese Grand Prix, Christian, I think we need to talk about a little bit of big Formula One news, actually, that happened after we recorded our last episode. It's a pretty big piece for the 2025 season driver lineup puzzle, I reckon.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso re-signing for Aston Martin. This is significant in so many ways because in the immediate term, it puts a big piece of the jigsaw in the 2025 grid lineup. I was doing a bit of a predictive thing on TikTok, literally pressed post, and then Fernando announced it. So thanks for that, Fernando. But I predicted that Fernando would stick around at Aston. They were the sort of noises that were coming from his camp, and he has. But also, he'll be racing until at least the end of 2026 when he'll be 45, which is extraordinary.
He looks great, doesn't he? He looks so good.
I said this on our Bahrain testing pod. He doesn't just look great. I'm convinced he's getting younger. And he's clearly, he's not one of these people that's getting work done. It's clearly natural. He's just, I want to know what his diet is, what his skincare routine is. The man's a myth, a legend. He looks sensational.
I just love that he's clearly just enjoying himself so much. He said that retirement's just hasn't crossed his mind yet because he just loves driving too much to stop at the moment. And that's great. I feel like when you absolutely love something, that's when you perform the best as well, right? And I think we're seeing that.
Yeah, I think he's performing incredibly, but even better than he did in his McLaren era when he wasn't enjoying it. So I agree with that point, Betty. I think he had a little go at trying to get himself a different seat.
Do you reckon?
Oh, I think so, because there was a couple of interviews where he said, oh yeah, we're running 8th, 9th, 10th, whereas obviously this time last year they were regularly on the podium. So I think he had a go at sort of trying to attract Mercedes or Red Bull interest, but I don't think either were realistically looking at him for partners for Russell in Mercedes' case or Verstappen in Red Bull's case. I think it's really good for the sport. I think it's fantastic for the sport. I think he adds a lot to it. And Betty, going back to the 50s or so, you did used to see drivers driving into their 50s, in the sort of 50s, 60s, driving much older. But back then, the cars were much more dangerous, but they weren't necessarily as physical. You didn't pull the G-forces. So this is unheard of in the modern era. So it's going to be fascinating. That the oldest in recent memory I can remember is Michael Schumacher, who off the top of my head retired about 42. I might have that wrong by a year or so. So I think this is going to be fascinating to see how he fares up in terms of his age, because he's not showing any signs of slowing down.
Yeah, well, his back can't be hurting, can it? Like, you know, when you start getting older, people complain about back pain.
He seems absolutely fine.
He seems in tip-top condition. It's interesting because he said he had talked to other teams, but he felt sort of the most wanted at Aston Martin. Do you think for Aston Martin, the team, this is the right decision for them to hold on to a driver that experienced for this long?
Well, I think that harks back to Alpine, who lost him, of course. He shocked everyone by saying he was going to Aston, and they took such a step forward last winter, not the winter we've just had, the winter before. And Alpine, I think, faffed about and sort of, because they were keen to bring through Oscar Piastri, who they would go on to lose. So Aston have learnt from Alpine's mistake, and Mike Crack has been unequivocal in saying, he's our man, we want him, plan A is Fernando, we'll only look at plan B if Fernando goes. So I think that was really cleverly done for Mike Crack, because to answer your question, Betty, yeah, I think it's worth the gamble, because at the moment you've got a driver who's special. And Fernando, the only reason, you know, Fernando's only won two world championships, say, to Lewis's seven, for example. But that's because he's not been in the right car at the right time. And he's probably made some bad career moves in the past. Leaving Ferrari would be an example. I still think he'd have won a championship with Ferrari if he had stuck around there. But on talent-wise, he's one of the best ever.
So Fernando, he's in there. He's sorted. He's stuck with Aston Martin. Where does it leave the other two big seats then, Christian, are currently empty for 2025?
It seems to me that Mercedes to partner George Russell is a straight shootout between Kimi Antonelli and Carlos Sainz. I've seen respected F1 journalists say that Antonelli's the firm favourite. I've seen some other reports say that Sainz is the favourite. If it were me, I'd be giving it Carlos Sainz on a 2-year contract, and I'd be trying to get Antonelli in a Williams at that point, with a sort of recall option that we can take him if we need to, because that's worked so well with George Russell. He sort of developed at Mercedes, and I think a chance to develop with a team that's not fighting for podiums immediately is a really good thing for a driver.
Yeah.
And in terms of Red Bull, I still think the favourite at the moment is Sergio Perez. Why would you upset the apple cart? Why would you upset the sort of status quo? If Sergio carries on where he has been performing in recent weeks and months since the start of this season, I don't see a reason to change that. So for me, that's where the Fernando Alonso jigsaw seems to fit. But there's still plenty of seats up for grabs. I did a thing, by the way, please follow me on TikTok, Christian Hugo. I did a thing of predicting where the rest of the grid is. Let me plug my TikTok. Thanks. So have a look on there. I'll keep doing that as to where the rest of the grid looks like, rather than just read out a list on the podcast. But it's shaping up to be really interesting. There's so up in the air in so many places.
It baffles me that Carlos Sainz is, you know, arguably one of the best drivers this season behind Max Verstappen, yet he doesn't have a seat for next year. Surely there's so many people that would be after nailing him down.
I'd be, if I was Toto Wolff. Yeah, he's got the cards here, because I don't think, even though the position Mercedes are in, if you're Carlos, I don't think you're going to jump into signing with another team until you've heard what Red Bull and Mercedes are doing. And I can't see them putting Carlos in a Red Bull. I think it might be a bit too fiery with Max. So if I was Toto, I'd be waiting another 4 or 5 races to see if Carlos's form continues. And then I'd be knocking on Carlos's door and saying, okay, I have 2 years. Let's see what you're made of.
Shall we get on with it then and talk about this week's race, the Chinese Grand Prix? There hasn't been a race there for 5 years, Christian, mainly due to COVID restrictions and stuff. So for any of our listeners who might be new to the sport, new to Formula One, and haven't seen a race there before, what on earth can we expect?
Well, we can expect something that I didn't realise. Producer Jimmy's put this in our episode notes. It might be Jimmy's best ever fact, I think. It's designed to look like the track, the layout, is designed to look like the Chinese symbol, the Chinese symbol for Shang, that's a tongue twister, meaning upwards when seen from above.
Can I tell you, when I read through these notes earlier, I read that as
Chinese symbol for shit.
And I was like, what? And I had to read it three times. And then I was like, oh.
Sorry. Shang. Right, yeah. In terms of what you can expect from the track, it's got a one of the longest straights on the calendar, 1.2 kilometer stretch. That's between turn 13 and 14. But then there's lots of tight, twisty bits. But it's sort of not dissimilar to your Bahrain modern setup. It's quite wide. So it doesn't look dissimilar to a sort of Bahrain setup. And you mentioned that we've not been there since 2019. The amount that's changed in Formula One since 2019. Lando Norris was in his rookie year. Valtteri Bottas was driving for Mercedes. He finished the race in second. Vettel was driving for Ferrari. Oh. Max's teammate at Red Bull was Pierre Gasly.
Wow.
Alpine weren't even called Alpine. They were Renault. Kimi Raikkonen was still in the sport driving for Alfa Romeo. George Russell's teammate at Williams was Robert Kubica.
And Hamilton was winning things.
Yeah, Hamilton won the race. So yeah, it's usually provides an entertaining race. And I'm really interested this weekend because we've got a sprint weekend, which means the teams only get one practice session. As I've said, Formula One's in a totally different place to last time the teams were there. So one practice session to dial the cars in, and then they're into what this year in the new format is sprint qualifying straight afterwards. I'm really interested. It could be a little bit chaotic in terms of setup, and we could get some sort of red herrings in terms of cars being slower than they should be because teams haven't got set up right. So it should be really interesting.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask you. The fact that we've got the magic combination of the fact that we're at the Chinese Grand Prix for the first time for 5 years, plus the fact that the first sprint weekend of the season is here as well. Maybe this combination is going to really spice things up a bit, make it a little bit more unpredictable.
Oh, it could do, because we saw, take for example, Singapore last year, where Red Bull just didn't manage to get their setup right all weekend. We had a similar, and obviously Carlos won the race. We had a similar thing in Australia where Red Bull just didn't get it right. Now, I'm not saying that will happen to Red Bull this weekend, but it really wouldn't surprise me if there was a shock team just not being as good as they should be because they just haven't managed the setup. Also, Betty, we should say, the sprint format has been tweaked slightly for this year. So it just basically runs in the order you think it should run. It's basically just a better order than last year. So you get free practice one, which anyone who wants to get up and watch it, it's between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning on Friday. Good luck to you, because even I'm not that committed.
No.
Then you've got sprint qualifying, which is 8:30 on Friday. So Friday is practice, then sprint qualifying. Saturday morning, you get the sprint race. So if you want to get up and watch the sprint race again, that's going to be an early one. That's a 4 a.m. start UK time. And then basically the weekend then reverts to normal with qualifying Saturday afternoon or Saturday early morning in UK terms. And then the race 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on Sunday. So a slightly more logical progression through the weekend of getting the sprint stuff done. And then basically it's the weekend as normal.
Yeah, it makes sense. And also the thing that is really exciting me about this as well is that it's the first time that a Chinese driver is going to compete at his home race, because Zhou Guanyu is going to be making his hometown debut.
Oh yeah, it'll be lovely for Zhou.
That's going to be such a massive moment for him, and he's been doing really well, hasn't he, so far this season. How do you think he's going to cope with that extra layer of pressure?
Yeah, he's had a solid start to the year in terms of his ability. Sauber have struggled in many areas, particularly with pit stops, so Zhou's had a solid start to the season. He's one of the drivers that isn't necessarily guaranteed a seat for next year, so he needs to be putting in Yuki Tsunoda style performances. Everyone's looking at Yuki at the moment as an example of dragging his car up the grid. We need to see that from Zhou this year. Have we seen it enough? Not quite for me yet. So I think he will look for that home Grand Prix boost that he can sometimes get with fans behind him. So he will be looking to try and keep hold of that seat or attract attention from other teams. So a big season for Zhou. And of course, he'll want to kick that off in the right way with his home Grand Prix.
It's funny, isn't it, how some people really thrive under that pressure of a home Grand Prix and all of those fans cheering their names, and some people struggle with it quite a lot.
Depends on the character.
Should we go on to listener questions then?
Yes, of course we can.
So we had a question in from Mrs. Clip on Instagram.
Mrs. Clip?
Mrs. Clip, about the weekend. She said, lack of practice aside, is it a good circuit for a sprint race?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I think there's no reason this shouldn't be a sprint race. The teams are unhappy it's a sprint race this year because that lack of practice time to set the cars up because they've not been there since 2019. But generally speaking, it is a circuit where overtaking tends to be possible. The proof of the pudding will be in the eating, but it's why not have a sprint race at China? As I said, it's got the big, long straight, which can be handy for overtaking. It's wide in places. Yeah, I'd have had this as a sprint race. Yeah, I totally see the logic here.
Yeah, same. And I think it's going to be exciting. Right, we've had another one in from Hafdis in Iceland. Thanks so much for listening to us from Iceland.
Is she in Iceland, the country, or is she in the UK and popped to do a food shop? Get frozen food in.
It links to how the Grand Prix is going to work this weekend. So she asks, how does Parc Fermé now work since the sprint qualifying and sprint race are ahead of the Grand Prix quali? Are we going to see different setups for sprint quali and sprint race, or are changes only allowed ahead of the Grand Prix quali?
Great question. And I've written this down to make sure I get it right because it can be confusing. So there will be two Parc Fermé periods, and Parc Fermé is when you can't make setup changes to your car. So they are between sprint qualifying and sprint. So effectively, you can make changes to your car up until sprint qualifying, but the minute your car goes out onto the track for sprint qualifying, you can't make any more setup changes. You have to stick with that setup throughout the sprint qualifying and the sprint race. Then it reopens after the sprint race. So if you had a bad sprint race and think, actually, I need to change this setup, that setup, you've got as much time as you want to do that before race qualifying. It then stopped again as normal, or I should say Parc Fermé opens again as normal for qualifying. And then Parc Fermé is stopped between qualifying and the race. So basically, you've got two periods of Parc Fermé between sprint qualifying and sprint, and then between qualifying and the race.
Lovely. And the next one is from Travis in Texas. This is a question about going to see the stewards. So he says, when there is a serious incident during a race, the stewards will summon the teams or the drivers to come see them to explain their actions. I understand that their explanation will often affect the punishment. Seeing that I'm a lawyer and I'm very interested in the FIA's rules and regulations, I was curious if the teams had specific people who argue their points to the stewards when necessary. It seems like a good idea to have someone that knows the rules inside out, as well as the FIA's previous penalties and precedent when arguing with the stewards. Do you know if there is such a position with the teams, or do they just wing it?
Good question from Travis. And all of Travis's presumptions, as you'd expect from a lawyer, are bang on. It typically is the team's sporting director, because as Travis rightly predicts, the sporting directors tend to be the ones most across the rules. So take Mercedes, for example. Their sporting director is a hugely experienced name in the F1 world called Ron Meadows. So the teams will normally get an email, believe it or not, it's an email, and it will say car number 63, George Russell, summoned to the stewards in relation to this incident. And George and Ron, they'll be the driver and they'll be a team representative. That's not always the case. For example, if there was, I'm plucking this off the top of my head, a front wing infringement, and there was somebody in the garage who particularly knew the front wing. I don't know what the front wing infringement would be. I'm plucking it from my imagination. But if there was somebody who knows that particular bit of the car where the stewards are having a look at, they might go. Because again, as Travis rightly says, you're going to look for the best person to win the argument. Normally, that is the sporting director. There isn't a rule that says it has to be.
Mm-hmm, okay. Nice answer. Are you going to be getting up watching the Chinese Grand Prix? It's a good time.
It's only dawned on me this morning. I'm going out Saturday night. Oh. I probably only miss one or two live races a season. I don't like missing live races, but I am going out. So it might have something to do whether it, how much gin I consume on Saturday night. I think we'll play a part in it. I'd like to.
Excuse me. I went to drag brunch once, and I got up and watched it.
Yeah, well, you can get up and watch it live.
Yes, but this is at 8 a.m., isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you can get up at 8 a.m., Christian.
This thing is, there's 24 races in a season now. People need to have lives. You can't possibly watch every session live. So
yeah, that's true.
By the way, if I do watch it on catch up, don't even try and text me Sunday morning, because I will just not look at my phone. I'll just say to like my dad, look, ring me in an emergency. But other than that, I just won't have my phone near me. I won't have any media on, because as I've said before, if it gets spoiled, it's your fault.
I won't message you. I'm going to turn my phone off. Not because I don't want the spoilers, but because I will give a spoiler.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, I will.
Well, we're Fast Curious Pod on socials if you want to send any questions based on China. And don't forget, we're on YouTube now. So just search for The Fast and the Curious to watch these episodes in full on YouTube. And you can send us questions by popping them in the comments on below on there. But yeah, we're on TikTok and Instagram. And follow me on TikTok too, please. I'm Christian Hugill.
Oh my God, stop plugging your own TikTok, Christian.
No, I've been really trying with TikTok recently, so I'm relentlessly plugging it.
Whatever. Anyway, we'll be back for a debrief after the race. Thank you.
No one's stopping you plugging your TikTok.
No one wants to see that. We'll be back for a debrief after the race. But until then, enjoy yourselves. Goodbye.
Christian Hugill on TikTok. Christian Hugill.
No, Christian, stop it. Stop it.